Fighting between Israelis and Palestinians is continuing as it hits nearly 8 weeks. Israel has stated that it continues this war until it's going to continue this war until its objectives are met. Even the last time Iran had stated the same, that it had achieved its military objectives. Hamas, meanwhile, has been relentless in its retaliatory rocket attacks. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss how there can be a compromise on the two key issues, which really are non-negotiables for both sides. For Hamas, the lifting of the illegal siege, and for Israel, the disarming of the Gaza Strip. We'll also discuss whether what Khaled Mashal, the leader of Hamas, has said, in which he said that Israel kills with impunity due to the international community inaction and the U.S.'s support for Israel.
This is one of the buildings leveled in Israeli raids in the Gaza Strip. And there are thousands of other buildings like this in Gaza, which have been completely destroyed by Israeli forces. The death toll from the Israeli raids keeps rising, with hundreds of children among the fatalities. But the high death toll has not broken the will of the Palestinians. According to a poll conducted by the Palestinian Center for Public Opinion, a majority of Palestinians, 93% of them, are against the disarmament of resistance groups. Meanwhile, the political chief of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, says Palestinians in the Gaza Strip regard resistance as the only way to counter the enemy. Khaled Mashal has also laid down the Palestinians' terms for a lasting ceasefire with Israel.
We demand the removal of the Israeli siege and opening of all the crossings in the Gaza Strip. We also want an airport and a seaport. These are not conditions, but the Palestinians' rights. We also demand that Israel facilitate financial transactions in Gaza, avoid causing trouble for the Palestinian National Unity Government, stop detaining Palestinians in the West Bank, quit rearresting the released Palestinian prisoners, allow free trade between Gaza and the West Bank, and let people commute freely between the two regions.
At the same time, Palestinians continue to fire retaliatory rockets into Israel. A report by the Israeli daily Haaretz says more than 70% of Israelis living near Gaza have been forced to leave their homes because of the retaliatory rockets. Many believe the Israeli army is unable to militarily win the war against Gaza.
The works at the international organizations, basically the United States and its allies, they wanted to give Israel more time in order to try to achieve some of the goals it announced it is trying to achieve. None of this has been achieved. This is why they're prolonging the intervention.
The war on the Gaza Strip has wreaked havoc on the infrastructure of the Palestinian territory, with electricity and medical facilities suffering greatly. The besieged Palestinian territory is also in desperate need of food and medical supplies for survivors. Israel, on the other side, has suffered economic losses too. And now a war of attrition between Palestinian resistance fighters and Israel is set to politically and economically harm Tel Aviv even more.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. We have co-director of International Action Center, Sarah Flounders, who joins us from New York, and Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, who joins us from London. I'd like to welcome you both. Sarah Flounders, Israel's Channel 2 TV has conducted a poll and has found out that before the war, the Israeli Prime Minister's popularity rating was standing at 82%, and now it has gone down to 28% due to Israel's war on Gaza. Why is Israel conducting this war? Why is Prime Minister Netanyahu still relentless in going through with this war?
Israel is determined and has always been determined to destroy the Palestinian people, the Palestinian movement, and the Palestinian determination to resist. And this has been true for every administration, and every U.S. administration has supported Israel completely, politically, diplomatically, financially, every step of the way in this goal. The fact that they have failed, though, is why they are losing support, even within Israel, and losing support among very important layers. For example, the statement just this weekend from survivors of the Holocaust characterizing Israel's attack on Gaza as genocide, equating it to the Nazi Holocaust against the Jewish people in Europe, These are strong words coming from Holocaust survivors and hundreds of their descendants. So the support in Israel, the support, of course, around the world where Israel is isolated, even the support here in the U.S. where the corporate media totally supports Israel, and yet in the population that support is eroding. So and really what is increasingly is recognized is the Palestinian people right to exist as a people, as a nation, right to elect their own leadership, and right and determination to open the borders of Gaza. This is absolutely essential. It's the very first step to lift the siege.
Well, William Morris, I need to bring this up because this is something that seems to maybe go under the radar, and that's the life of a Palestinian. We're looking at nearly 8 weeks of fighting, and at this point, Israel keeps targeting civilians. And the key word here being targeting, as opposed to, for example, Hamas's retaliatory rocket attacks. 200-plus civilians have been killed after the war resumed, one of them being a pregnant woman. In the meantime, one of the rockets claimed the life of an Israeli. Why would the Israeli life be highlighted in the form and manner that it does, but yet the life of Palestinians, 200 since the war resumed? At this point, I lost count. I think it's over 1,200 at this point that have been killed overall. Why is that the case?
Yes, I think any life that's lost is a tragedy. Prophet Muhammad said to kill one person is as if you killed the whole world. I think you can start counting scores here. The point is that what's going on is atrocious. There was a journalist killed today who was the 16th journalist to be killed in Gaza, a guy called Abdullah Murtada. The 15th journalist was a friend of mine, a man called Ali Abu Afash, one of the sweetest men I have ever known, a gentleman, a kind man, and he was just killed a few days ago. There is no rationale, no logic. You have a situation in which 20% of the homes in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed. You have 400,000 refugees staying in schools. Now, they're new refugees I'm talking about, completely new refugees, with nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. You have a terrible, terrible situation, and there's a new phase in this war where Israel is has hit an apartment block, a 14-story apartment block a day or so ago, and with 45 flats in it. That represents a new kind of ratcheting up of the conflict. So it's tragic. It's tragic what's happening in Gaza. It's wrong, I think, to suppose that the population of Israel is not behind this war. They may not be behind their president, but they are behind this war because they feel threatened as well. They live in a strange, irrational fear, even though they are the much stronger party. They are frightened by the Palestinian rockets. So you have a curious situation in which I believe that Israel is doing this and doesn't see the way out. It has to, both sides have to find a way out. The real problem is the siege on Gaza, which has gone on far too long, and people cannot live in a prison like this.
Sir Flounders, I need to find out from you, since you're there in the States, do Americans realize what's going on? I mean, for example, even the piece of news right now is that Egypt is trying very hard, although many are not very optimistic, it's trying very hard to bring the two sides back to the negotiating table. The Palestinian factions have agreed for talks to resume, but they want the border crossings to be lifted, because you have at this point over 10,000 injured Palestinians, and I think out of the 10,000, 240 were allowed back, but only 6 were given treatment. There's desperation here, but Israel doesn't want to come back. They have not responded as of yet. Do Americans know the situation as it is regarding this particular point, and then overall?
No, of course they don't know. And I don't think, by the way, Egypt is trying very hard at all for a negotiated settlement. Egypt is enforcing the closure at Rafah, going about helping in the destruction of the tunnels, stopping those who have severe injuries from even seeking getting medical attention in Egypt. As you say, 11,000 injuries and about six people have been able to cross into Egypt for medical attention. So Egypt really under the General Sisi dictatorship is in every way working with Israel, working with the U.S. But the very fact that even under Egypt, Israel is refusing to take part in ceasefire talks shows just how absolutely one-sided the struggle is and really who is absolutely to blame. Now, do the people in the U.S. know this? This is not what's reported in the media, but it's important the actions that are happening in the U.S., where there have been demonstrations again and again all across the country, where the boycott, divest, sanctions movement has gained great strength. In the past week, really for the first time, an Israeli ship was stopped from unloading. The Zim ship at the port of Oakland on the West Coast in California, because thousands and thousands of people turned out to block the port and refuse to allow the unloading. And from 5 a.m. and coming back again and coming back again, and finally the ship had to leave. So that is a sign of the things to come, where Israel increasingly is isolated, where mass sentiment, even here in the U.S., where U.S. imperialism is absolutely in bloc with Zionism and has been historically, continues to be today, but that the feeling among people here, and we found it in all of the demonstrations in the streets where people applaud, join, welcome. This has not been in the past. Sometimes in past years, you'd feel you were taking your life into your hands, that the results were so hostile. And yet today, especially among young people on campuses, the support is huge and growing. So I think there is a real sea change, both in how Israel is perceived, how the whole Zionist scheme for the destruction of the Palestinians is seen and understood, and also on a global scale, how it's understood. And so the U.S. is isolated on this, Israel is, and certainly the role of the Egyptian government should also be challenged.
Very well. A quick time out now. Let's listen to some of the viewer comments as it was posted on our Facebook page, and we'll turn back to the debate. Let's take a listen.
Giving up means betraying thousands of Gaza's blood. Fight until the last man, until their need is met. Hamas's demands are not unreasonable. They are basic human rights. End the siege and occupation. It's simple. The only way to end Israel occupation is the resistance. God bless you. Israel must defend itself until Palestinians agree to its demands. Palestinians should be fighting for independence for their entire land. No peace without justice, no peace without human rights, no peace without respect, no peace without truth. There is no point in having more violence for a blockade to drop that was created because of your violence. The blockade will drop when you recognize Israel. Any agreement should include sanctions to be put on both parties in case the agreement is broken by either party. The freedom of Palestine is at stake on land, in the air, and on waterways. Stop the occupation. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I am worried about children and women. But what else do they have to lose? They have already lost nearly everything.
Some of the viewer comments, we had quite a bit of them there, William Morris. But one of the main questions right now, given the length of this war, is what does Israel want? It's very interesting that some are saying that Israel actually doesn't want Hamas to leave the Gaza Strip. They want Hamas there. They don't want the siege lifted because they have an address for Hamas and other resistance fighters, and that's the Gaza Strip. So therefore, they will do what they can to keep the Gaza Strip in its current shape and form. They have said this war is going to continue through September. Where do you see this war going?
Well, of course, clearly Israel does not want Hamas to go. Israel's very concerned about the possibility of Hamas leaving the scene And then along comes a kind of Palestinian ISIS, an extreme group that is Takfiri Salafist, that is really violent in a new way. So at the moment they have a group that is comparatively moderate if you're looking at what's happening on some of the nations of the Middle East. You look at poor Iraq. So Hamas is a better address for them. Yes, they need Hamas there. And in the short term, there is a possibility now tonight of a 72-hour or at least 48-hour ceasefire. That's what we're moving towards. The Israelis will not negotiate, they say, under fire. So unless we have a ceasefire, negotiations can't take place. The Palestinians, at least in the form of and shape of Hamas, have a new Palestinian paper on the table, which says that we will put the issue of the port and the airport and the prisoners, kick that can down the road a little, leave that for the moment, if we can just deal with issues like the Rafah crossing and get some opening up of Gaza for lorries, for construction materials and so forth. So there's a different shape to the Palestinian demands, but nonetheless the Palestinians do demand the opening up of Gaza. I think that's the way it will go. There will be a settlement along these lines. Israel has a desire to see Hamas demilitarized so that it can no longer fling rockets at Israel. I don't know how that's going to be achieved.
Give it a shot. How do you think that would be achieved, Million Morris, if it was up to you?
It was up to me. If it was up to me, the first thing you've got to do is to have them talking to one another. This thing of not talking to your enemies, I mean, again, go back to the Prophet Muhammad. He talked to his enemies. I don't like this whole concept. We need more dialogue. The whole West is not talking to Hamas. We need to all be talking to Hamas. And if Hamas were being spoken to by the Western world, by Iran. Iran is no longer speaking to Hamas, by the way. You're very resentful of the position they took against the Iranian principal stand in Syria and Iraq. Hamas have been foolish and have alienated some of their friends. But the world needs to talk to Hamas now. And if we talk to them seriously and talk to the Israelis seriously, then I believe we can get a way forward and can get all sides to lay down their arms. I think it can be done.
Marcel Frander's the idea of countries that are backing Israel, some have come out obviously condemning this move, but one country in particular said, you know, if Israel resumes this war, we're not going to renew their arms licenses, and that was the UK. They have yet to do that. Why have they rebuffed on that?
Well, really, the British Empire, the British imperialism will always back the role of U.S. imperialism. And so while they may talk in a Labour government, because there they face overwhelming opposition to their support for Israel from the broad population, and a real sense of solidarity with the Palestinian struggle. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're saying they're going to stop aid to Israel, and at the other hand, they don't do it. And of course, in the U.S., the arms shipments increase, and it's a nonstop pipeline. The problem, though, is not Palestinian rockets. What Israel is trying to defeat is Palestinian unity. And the real crime that the Palestinians committed, as far as Israel is concerned, was the unity government of Hamas and Fatah. The very idea that the Palestinian people would be united is fearful to Israel. And so this war began as a way of attempting, this round of attempting to break the Palestinian resistance and the drive for unity. In any form, Israel wants the Palestinian people completely fractured and also completely defenseless. Yes, they want the Palestinian people to disarm and to stop their resistance, but that doesn't mean that Israel will give an inch, as we've seen in the West Bank, where despite 20 years of talks, the settlements have expanded, have continued, the walls, the roadblocks, the dividing into tiny cantons, expropriating more and more land.
I'm sorry, Sarah Flounders, to jump in. I've got to get a reaction from William Morris in conclusion. William Morris, an analyst, has said we should ensure there is no partner, for if a Palestinian partner exists, there is someone with whom we can negotiate a peace agreement. That requires the most dreadful thing of all, giving up land and control. Is that Israel's view?
Well, I think there are many moderate Israelis that would like to see a peace settlement. The trouble is that their voice is being crushed at the moment by the hardliners. But having said that, just one major point on what was just said a moment ago. Here in Britain, there is a lot of anger about what's happening in Gaza, but we are very, very easily distracted. And the war in Iraq has distracted us from the Gaza situation. This terrible immediate burning crisis in Iraq and ISIS, with British people involved and engaged in the fighting, has distracted our media, our press, from the Gaza situation. So it is tragic that this whole Middle East is burning at the moment. Yes, there must be a peace process. I would like to see Iran actually take a lead role for peace. Iran is one of the major players in the world today. Iran is talking to America quietly behind the scenes, and Iran needs to be taking a more proactive role for peace, because without an Iranian role in this, we're never going to get anywhere, I think. It's very important in my view.
Very well. We're going to have to unfortunately leave it there. Thank you very much. Co-director of International Action Center, Sarah Flounders, spoke to us from New York, and the Secretary General of Next Century Foundation, William Morris, was speaking to us there from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitaly and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.